morning again. Sorry while I adjust the table, because if you are very particular, you're going to realize it's not in the middle. And it's actually going to bother me. Yeah, no, I don't know if it's the cross. I usually go by the electrical plug, right? Yeah, so electricity is pretty centered, right, Trevor? Amen. What a great day. What a great God. What a great God. Come on. God is so good. So good. Well, I get the privilege to start our new series that's going to run probably into the beginning of August, called We Talk About That. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at topics that typically aren't talked about in church. So we have to be able to talk about the hard things. We have to be able to talk about the difficult things, and not just talk about them and talk about, well, this is how I feel about that, or this is what I think about that. But really, what does God say about that? Because everything we need for life and godliness is in here. It may be a very old book, but it's not an out-of-date book. So it says in John chapter 1 that grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. See, this is how we need to look at these difficult subjects, these difficult topics, with grace and with truth. See, if we look at things with all grace, if it's all grace, then things get sloppy. Then things get weird. We get into that place where everything's acceptable because it feels good, and because it feels good, it's okay. And then we're in that weird, awkward, funky place where we can't say, hey, like that's offside, that's out of bounds, that's really not the way that God would have us live. You can't say that because we're all grace. And if we go all truth, if we swing to the other side, that really, like, all truth is going to kill you. Right? To just have all truth is hard. It's harsh. And if we just look at these hard topics through the lens of just truth, then people are going to feel not loved. They're going to feel rejected. They're going to feel shame because you're not living up to the truth. And so we need to have grace and truth. See, freedom is realized through grace and truth. And so today, we're talking about divorce. Now, up front, my intent is not to discuss through the letter of the law when divorce is permissible and when it is not. I'm not going to draw lines through the scripture and be like, okay, if this, and this take place, then you're okay to walk away. But if you don't meet this criteria, then you have to stay. That's not what I'm about to do this morning. We believe in marriage at Crosspoint. We believe in family. We are committed to walking with people into health in all areas of their lives, and this includes marriage. See, a healthy marriage, it fosters a healthy family. And healthy families bring reformation to our culture. We need more healthy families in America. Amen? Come on. Now, I'm sure we're all familiar with the verse, or we've at least heard it before, that says, I hate divorce, says the Lord. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 16. But have you ever stopped to ask the question, Father, why do you hate divorce? God hates divorce because of the pain that it causes. Anyone who's been through divorce, regardless of whose fault it was or what side you were on, you understand that it is extremely painful. See, in creation, God created Adam from the dust of the ground, and then out of Adam, God created Eve. And it says that the two became one. In divorce, so in marriage, we have the two become one. In divorce, you're trying to take one and make two. That's why it's so extremely painful. Because God has made one, and now there's issues, there's struggles, there's things that are taking place, and there's this tearing apart of the one trying to make two again. It hurts emotionally, it hurts spiritually, And many, many times there's a physical pain that happens as people walk through divorce. There's pain that's felt through the entire family. Children hurt for a very long time. They long for a whole, complete family. At times, children feel like they're to blame. They blame themselves, and at times they feel like they have to choose sides. When, you know, I'm going to go spend time with my mom or with my dad, and when I spend time with my mom, it means that I'm rejecting or saying no to my dad, and they feel torn, like they're on side with one person or another. Listen, God is not a stoic father who is immune or indifferent to your pain and suffering. God feels. And that's important to understand. God feels, and He knows your pain, and the Father's heart breaks. As you weep, the Father weeps. He hates divorce because of the pain and the destruction that it causes us. It's not because you haven't lived up to the covenant of marriage, so I hate that. He hates the pain that you're walking through. So today, what I want to focus on is, what do we do now? How do I recover? How do I receive healing when I'm walking through divorce? As a family, Crosspoint, as a family, how do we walk with people through this very painful season of life? Because I'm sure everyone, if not everyone, the vast majority of us, we've either been touched by divorce in some way, or we know someone that has. So how do we walk this out together? Well, I want to give you three truths that you can apply to your life and you can take with you today to minister to walk with people that may be facing divorce or walking through that. The first one is, God never leaves us in a place of brokenness. Listen, it doesn't matter how broken you are, God is not afraid of your brokenness. In fact, God is drawn to your brokenness. I go so far as to say that God collects broken people. He just doesn't leave us the way that He finds us. Psalm chapter 34 and verse 18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." And Psalms 147 verse 3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds." The Messiah's mandate that's found in Isaiah chapter 61, and Jesus actually, He reads this out as early on in His ministry. He reads it out in the temple, and then He sits down. It says this: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." In all three of those verses, that word brokenhearted, it carries so much more weight than just emotional pain. It's not just a broken heart. It's actually being used in a figurative sense, because the literal use of that word that's translated as brokenhearted is a word that refers to ships, vessels that are broken, that are wrecked, that have been battered by the wind, that are taking on water, that are no longer able to sail the open sea, but they're beginning to sink. That's the word picture of brokenhearted. The Lord is close to those that are broken, that are battered, that feel like they are slowly drowning and they cannot keep their head above the waves. And it is the mandate of Jesus, our Savior. It is the anointing of Jesus to bind up the brokenhearted, bringing healing to them. See, He brings the broken pieces of our heart that have been scattered throughout our lives. He brings all the pieces back together. You might sit and think, well, my heart is broken, but not just broken, but it's shattered, and it has been, all the pieces have been scattered, and I don't even know where all the pieces of my heart are. The good news today is that the Father knows where every single last piece of your broken heart is. And if you will allow Him, He will bring every piece back together. You are not Humpty Dumpty. You can get put back together again. Jesus brings back the scattered pieces. He supports them. He holds them together. And he makes our lives watertight again. He binds up our lives like a doctor puts bandages on an open wound. Jesus creates an environment for us to experience healing, to foster healing, to sustain healing. Jesus heals the broken heart and he makes it brand new again. This goes with hand in hand with Isaiah 53 and verse 4 that says, "Surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." You know, the plain and literal usage of griefs and sorrows in the original Hebrew language is physical pain. It's sickness. But it also includes that grief, that sadness, that mental pain and sorrow. God walked the earth as a man, Jesus. God walked the earth, and he carried your sorrow, he carried your pain, your emotional pain, your spiritual pain, your physical pain. He carried it so that we didn't have to. And it goes on to say in verse 5 that by his stripes we are healed. It is a promise. It may hurt now, but healing and joy are your inheritance. They were purchased for you through the cross of Jesus. God will never leave you in a place of brokenness as long as you partner with him. See, it's not a flat out God never leaves anybody in a place of brokenness, because we all know broken people. In fact, some of us would say, I know broken people who have walked with Jesus for many, many years and they're still broken. It's because they're not partnering with him. They're not allowing him into that broken place because it hurts too much. And this is what we end up doing. Our hearts are broken and they are shattered and it is painful. And we build walls up around our broken hearts, not allowing any person to speak into it, not allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to us. And we stay in that place of brokenness. But if you'll just take the walls down, if you will just allow the Holy Spirit to come in, he's going to bring healing. Yes, it hurts. Yes, it's going to hurt as you begin to walk through the healing process. But the end result is always great. Healing hurts. If you've ever had surgery, the healing process hurts. But it's necessary to go through, because the end game is health and wholeness. The second truth is God never leaves you alone. Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 3 says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." God your Father is with you. And he will not allow you to be overcome by the circumstances that you find yourself in. You woke up today. That's good news. Right? Chin up. You woke up. You got out of bed. You got dressed. And you came here. Everything's going to be okay. Your feelings, they might tell you that you're all alone, that you have no one, but your feelings are wrong. Listen, feelings are real. They are real. We would never stand here and tell you that your feelings aren't real. Your feelings are real, but they're not always true. Because your feelings will lie to you. Your feelings will tell you that you're all alone, but you're not all alone. Even if, and this, I don't believe that this is the case, even if you have no person on the face of the planet that's walking with you, you are still not alone. Because the Bible promises, "I will never leave you," God said, "and I will never forsake you. I will never turn my back on you. You are not alone." So if your feelings are telling you that you're alone, your feelings are lying. They are not true. Not only is God with you, but we've all been placed into the body of Christ so that you have a place of belonging. You belong here. You have a place here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 18 to 26, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to read it, but if you're taking notes, write it down, and you can go and read it through at another time. Paul talks about how God created the body of Christ to care for and to love the members. And it goes on and talks about the members of the body. And it goes on and it says that there are members that maybe are hurting or that are weak or that need more honor. See, when in the natural, when one part of your body is hurt, the other parts of your body, they work harder to support, to give that injured part of your body the opportunity to heal. There was maybe five, six weeks ago, I was working out, and I don't know the technical term, but I sat with Stephen because I was in pain in my body. I think it was like my hip flexor. I had tweaked a ligament in my hip, and it hurt to walk. With every step, it hurt to walk. And to get in and out of the car, you know, like you sit, and you know, you get out of the driver's side, and you kind of swing your leg. It would take my breath away. And I was in so much pain, and the pain was right here in my hip. But what I found out, and what ended up happening was that throughout the day, this would still hurt, but my glute would start to tighten up, and I would get, I know, I'm talking about my butt. If you didn't know what glute was, that's what it is, right? But my glute muscle would begin to tighten up, and I would get this knot in my glute. And as I was talking to Stephen, he was saying, it's because it's trying to support the injured part. If you were to get shot with a gun in your shoulder, do you realize that your body doesn't thrust forward into the bullet? You would turn and cover yourself, the injured part. See, that's the way that God made your natural body. As it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. This body of Christ called Crosspoint, we support, we walk with. If you're hurting, if you're wounded, if you're injured, the other members, we come alongside and we walk with you. We support you. We give you time and space and room and energy to heal, to go through the healing process, because we all need that time to heal. Time doesn't heal all wounds, but healing sometimes takes time. Now, I feel like I can hear it in my spirit. Maybe you're here and that's not your experience in this church or another church. And I just say that we're not perfect. We're going to get it wrong. If I haven't let you down or disappointed you yet, we just haven't walked long enough together. It's not my goal or my aim in life, but chances are, the longer that we are in relationship together, I will disappoint you. I will let you down. I'm not perfect. And if I do let you down or I do disappoint you and I don't realize, then as Pastor Barry was talking before, there's a biblical process. Just come to me and let me know. So that may not be your experience, that support and all that within the body, within the church, but that doesn't mean you quit. It doesn't mean you give up on the church. It doesn't mean you walk away from the body. God places you, the scripture says, in a body just as he desires. It's his desire to place you into a local church family, into the body of Christ. You have a family here at Crosspoint. We are here for you. You have to allow yourself to be connected to the family. And you have to allow yourself to be loved by the family. And you have to allow yourself to be carried along by the family so that you can heal. You're not alone. You have a family. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, Paul writes, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any area of trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." God himself, who is the Father of all compassion, the source of all comfort, he comforts us. Not just so that we can feel loved and supported and healed and receive healing, but so that we can give that same comfort to other people. As Pastor Barry has talked so many times, that place of pain in your life, God will take that place of pain and He will use that as a source of great ministry for you. And it's because of this. You've been comforted. You've been healed. Now take the comfort which you've been comforted with and comfort someone else. See, this is one of the amazing things about God placing you into a family. You may be going through a divorce. You may be going through a difficult season or a time in your marriage, but God surrounds you with people who have been there. Those people have already received comfort in that situation, and now they are available to walk with you. See, we are not designed or created to be sponges, just soaking everything in. We are rain clouds. We soak up and we pour down. So if you're hurting, soak up the comfort. Soak up that healing. And then let it rain down on someone else. What God does in you, He wants to do through you. Just don't hold on to it. Let it go. Let that flow to someone else. God never leaves you alone. And God never withholds forgiveness. Listen, very rarely is there someone at zero fault when a marriage fails. For sure, one person, they may carry the lion's share of the issues that went down, but very rare is it all one person's wrongdoing. We're not perfect. Not one of us is perfect. God and His forgiveness through the blood of Jesus, they're available for us. Isaiah 43 and 25 says, I, am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I remember your sin no more. And 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There is no sin. There is no error. There is no shortfall. There is no mistake. There is no stain so bad that the blood of Jesus can't wash it away. You may have to walk out some of the consequences of the things that you've done, but that doesn't mean you still carry the stain of sin on you. As Jesus washes you as white as snow. When we confess our sin, when we admit that we have fallen short, when we repent, when we change our ways, when we change our thinking, which is really what repent means. Repent means to turn around and go the other way. And so this is a demonstration of repentance. It means to change the way that you think. So when you recognize that you've done wrong and you change and you repent, it's not sorry you got caught. It's recognizing, I dropped the ball. I messed up. I'm sorry I messed up, not that somebody caught me. Then He washes it away. He chooses to remember our sin no more. Listen, God doesn't forget, okay? He's God. God doesn't forget anything. But He looks at you and He chooses to not remember that anymore, which is greater than forgetting. I can forget where I leave my keys. But if I choose to not remember anymore where I leave it, it's different. See, when God looks at you, it's not like, oh, he forgot all those things that you did. And maybe one day He might remember those and bring them back to His mind. He looks at you and He says, I choose to not remember or recall any of those things when I look at you. When He sees you, He sees the perfection of Jesus. God doesn't hold your transgressions over your head. God does not make you pay penance to get back into His good books. You're His child. You're His son. You're His daughter. You are accepted. You are loved, cherished, and you have full rights and full access to Him at all times. Listen, if you're divorced, you should not feel any less loved by God because you are not. We are all loved, regardless of our standing with Him. He unconditionally loves every person. Whether or not we reciprocate that love, whether or not we come into alignment with that love and have relationship with Him, that doesn't increase His love for you when you say yes to His offer of salvation. When you say yes to coming into relationship with Him and being called His son or His daughter, that does not increase His love for you. He cannot love you any more than He does right now. When you were at your worst and you wanted nothing to do with Him, He could not love you any more. He loves you, and it doesn't change. He doesn't withhold His love as some way to punish you. We may be trained that way because of our natural relationships, the people that we walk with. Because sometimes people do that. They want to punish us, so they withhold relationship or they withhold love from us. But God does not do that. Don't ever let yourself, or anyone else for that matter, make you feel less than a child of the Father. Because you're divorced, or because you're remarried, or for any other reason. Seeking and giving forgiveness are essential to the healing process of divorce. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." We are required to release forgiveness to people that have hurt, wounded, offended, and wronged us. Listen, it's not like the Father is strong-arming us into this place of forgiving. But what it is Jesus is saying, hey, you have the power or the authority to say no to the Father when He wants to pour forgiveness out on you. If you are holding on to wounds and you refuse to forgive a brother or a sister or a spouse or whatever the case might be, and you refuse to forgive, in the Spirit you're saying no to the Father. No, do not forgive me because I want to hold on to this. We are required to release forgiveness. Listen, this might be the most terrifying verse in the entire Bible. I have met so many people over the years that are walking in unforgiveness, and they are holding on to these things. If you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Listen, I know that there have been terrible things said about you in the name of winning court battles. And I know that you have had horrific things done to you. But choosing to hold on to unforgiveness is not the answer. Forgiveness is unlocking the door to set someone free and realizing that you were the prisoner. That wasn't me, that was Max Licato. God never withholds forgiveness, and neither should we. Now, maybe you're here and you're struggling in your marriage or you're contemplating divorce. I want you to know it does not have to end that way. There is hope. There are options. There is help. There are marriage counselors that we can point you to, that we can connect you with. People who are trained, they are professionals to help people walk through their stuff, to receive healing within relationship. We as a staff, we are here for you, to walk with you, to pray with you, to give you spiritual counsel. As a family, we will walk with you. There is always hope. We believe in the power of God to do the impossible. And we will never stop believing. Psalms 33:20 says, "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and He is our shield." May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, Romans 15:13. The biblical definition of hope, if you remember, we did a hope series a few months back, is the joyful, confident expectation of good. God is good, and that is where our hope lies. It's in His goodness, it's in His presence, and it's in His ability to do the impossible. So if you are fighting for your marriage, you need to know and understand that we are standing with you. We fight with you. We believe in faith for a miracle, for reconciliation in your marriage, for God to resurrect that relationship and bring reconciliation to your home. Divorce is difficult to walk through. This is probably the greatest understatement that I've said all day. But it is not the end of the road. Can I also just say that divorce does not disqualify you? You need to hear that. If you have been divorced or you're in that process or you're remarried, you are not disqualified. I believe it's in Deuteronomy that says it is the anointing that qualifies you. It's the presence of God on your life that qualifies you. If you've been divorced, it isn't a roadblock in your life preventing you from seeing your destiny and your dreams fulfilled. God can, and God still will use you. It is not the end. God never leaves us in a place of brokenness. God never leaves you alone. And God never withholds forgiveness. Divorce. We talk about that here. Can I just get you to close your eyes? Holy Spirit, I know you're here. I can feel you. I can sense you. And even if I couldn't feel you and sense you, you've told me that you're here. I know you're speaking to hearts. Father, for those that have put up walls that surround their broken hearts, point out the walls. Sometimes we don't even realize that they're there. Help us bring those walls down. I just call out to you. You are the healer. Jehovah Rapha. The Lord our healer. It's not just what he does. It's who he is. He is healing. Holy Spirit, minister healing to hearts. To spirits. Those that are carrying that wound in their spirit, that brokenness in their heart. This morning, we receive by faith the healing that was purchased for each and every one of us. By his stripes, we are healed. And so we take hold of that promise of healing. In every way, shape, or form. Nothing missing, nothing broken in our lives. We take hold of that promise and we refuse to let it go. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Can you do this? Can you just put your hand on your heart? And repeat after me, if you want to. You don't have to, because it might be a dangerous prayer. So if at any point you feel it's a little too dangerous for you, then you can stop. I'm not going to pressure or control you. Say, Father, I open my heart to you. I welcome you into my brokenness. Bring back all the pieces of my heart and make me whole again. In Jesus' name.